Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here in the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Metal, Royalty, and Streaming. I am chatting with the president and CEO, Brent Heath. Metal is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MTA, and also on the NYSE under the symbol MTA. Now, Brett, I want to quickly follow up first with you regarding a news release that came out at the tail end of last year. And it was even something we were talking about throughout the really second half of last year. And that was the potential of Metal getting included in the GDXJ ETF. The announcement was made on December 21st that Metal is now included in GDXJ. What's the significance of this inclusion outside of the fact that a fair chunk of stock does need to be then bought and put into GDXJ?
Hey Corey, so this is a big milestone for the company, and it's a big milestone for any junior mining issuer to make it into the GDXJ. And the reason is because the GDXJ is the largest ETF. It's over $6 billion in assets, and it is these days, given kind of the trend from active to passive investing, kind of the go-to way that investors want to get exposure to the sector or the sector of junior miners for the GDXJ. So this is really important just in positioning your company for capital flows, and particularly when you're in bull markets. And I believe that we're in the middle or in the beginning of the second phase of this bull market. I think the first phase was kind of the end of 2015, early 2016, through when gold kind of came back up to test its highs. I think we're kind of starting the second phase here, and we're going to see much higher gold prices. And as those higher gold prices continue throughout this second phase of this bull market, being inside these ETFs allows your company to get exposure to those capital flows. And these are the biggest capital flows for the sector that you're going to see from really any other part of the market. So it's at utmost important to be able to get in there. It's been a goal for us. We weren't sure if we were going to get in at the end of last year or kind of the first quarter this year, but we ended up getting in at the end of last year. And so that was a very big milestone for our company. And we also were able to get into the U.S. Global ETF as well, which they've got their own kind of gold miners ETF with a high weighting on royalty companies. And that symbol is GOAU. And we also made it into the Prime Junior Miners Silver ETF, SILJ. So being in kind of the three most prominent junior gold ETFs, significantly increases the liquidity. We've already seen our liquidity make a material advancement. The GDXJ alone had to come in and buy about 2.2 million shares. I mean, this is over, at the time it was over, $20, $25 million worth of stock in the market. And every single time there's inflows into the GDXJ or these other ETFs, it creates a unit. And then that fund is on the hook for buying the stock. And so when you're in a bull market, it does create quite a bit of a nice tailwind. And like I said, additional liquidity for your shareholders, which is also a big bonus.
So being included in GDXJ and especially SILJ, these do add credibility to the company. You need to be a certain size. You need to have certain volume. These aren't true junior ETFs. We've talked about that a number of times on the show. But on the back of these additions, has it helped with any further discussions in terms of other acquisitions or even bringing in other, say, funds or institutional investors? Have you noticed a change or in some discussions that you've been having since these additions?
There's definitely a change because there's a lot of institutions and funds that start to invest in companies when they get in the GDXJ. It does raise the profile of those companies, and that's why, that's a big reason why I think we've we've seen a pretty significant amount of kind of relative outperformance against the peer group. Having that come in towards the end of the year, having a lot of other funds kind of come alongside of that stock as they're positioning themselves for the second phase.
Now let's talk a little bit about the strategy that you have for Metalla for this year. Look, it's a lot of people know that follow this sector closely that there have been a lot of new royalty companies come onto the market, especially just last year. It is a function of being in a bull market, but Metalla's been around for a number of years now, and you guys have gotten a significant amount of transactions and royalties in your portfolio. I believe you have about 20 transactions and a little over 60 royalties in total within the Metalla portfolio. What is the strategy going to be for this year to continue to try to stand out from your peers in this larger group of royalty companies now?
Well, it's important to understand, our strategy and our business model that we've been executing for the last 4.5 years is not it's not a dynamic market. And so a lot of the newcos or a lot of some of the ones that have been around that have kind of shifted to have a similar business model as Metalla, which, I don't blame them. It's an unbelievable way to scale your business at a very low kind of risk perspective, because you can buy these existing royalties as a small company. You can buy a royalty that's, $1 or $2 or $3 million, and it's on a Barrick as the operator, or whoever, any major. And that's the high quality and the solid foundation that you're going to get. But what we've noticed is that because the market's not dynamic, we had a very significant first mover advantage where we went out and we picked up the highest of the high quality assets in this market. And, the ones that were left behind, often we see those kind of being transacted on by a lot of the new entrants, because these royalties that we've picked up over the last 4.5 years, most of them were originated in like the 70s or the 80s or the 90s, a long time ago. These things just weren't created yesterday, and they're not being created on a daily basis as well. So, Metalla is in a very unique position because it had a great first mover advantage, kind of using the strategy of consolidating existing royalties. We're able to build a big base. We've been able to build out the company. We've got, an amazing amount of liquidity now. We've got scale. We've gone from zero to, as I'm looking at it right now, over $600 million in market cap in the last 4.5 years. So now we have the scale to go after some of the bigger existing royalties that are in that market. Now, these royalties, there's no secret about these royalties whatsoever. These things are very, very well known. The sector has known about them forever. The big guys have tried to buy these things for decades, but we have a formula that has continued to be successful over the last 4 years on some just incredible assets. I mean, last year we picked up a royalty on Fosterville, Kirkland Lake Fosterville. We picked up a royalty on Cortez, and not like a property 30 kilometers away, but actual Nevada gold mines, Cortez. So, we've been able to use this model successfully that, basically allowing these royalty holders to partner with us and take back equity and get the lift and all the benefits that the public markets provide. And in exchange, we've been able to pull in these incredible assets. And so this next year is, I think the year that we finally have the scale to be able to transact on some of these ones that have been there forever. These are just, I mean, there's some just absolutely amazing assets that are in this existing market. And, no one's approached it the way we have. And, we've got a great track record to lever off of now. 20 transactions, 62 royalties, every single person or company that we've transacted with that has taken back equity has made money. And that's due to very disciplined approach of how we acquire these things, what we're acquiring, how the royalty fits into the overall portfolio, the jurisdiction, the quality of the counterparty, and, the list goes on. And so every single deal that we do is carefully picked to be a value add to the rest of the portfolio. And there are a lot more amazing ones out there. And more importantly, we're at a position now where, you know, we have that scale to transact. And, you know, a lot of the new entrants, you know, they're still trying to get their critical mass. They're still trying to build their portfolios. So, you know, we've kind of moved a bit further up the food chain, and we're still in a very sweet spot from having that first mover advantage, having those relationships that we've developed with these holders over the last 4.5 years, the track record and so on. So we're looking forward to a very exciting 2021, and I think it'll continue into 2022. And we're excited about it.
Yeah, I remember talking with you, Brett, right when this company was getting up and going, and the focus on smaller royalties, starting to build out that side of the business. And that was in kind of the middle of that boring bear market. And now, especially last year, some of the moves and the advancement up to the NYSE, the company has really grown and is a bigger player in the royalty space. One other thing that I do want to ask you about is, in a bull market, we do see projects get advanced generally quicker, too. There's more money out there, and quite frankly, more projects make sense. They make more money at higher metals prices. Have you seen any advancements in terms of projects that are in your guys' portfolio? So royalties, but any of the royalties on these projects where the projects are getting moved along quicker because of the bull market and the availability of money?
Yeah, and that's a great question. Thank you for asking that. And it, you know, it just so happened that in November of last year, you know, one of the royalties that we owned on a project was sold. The project was sold to a major, and this was a 1.5% royalty that we own on the Wasamac project. It's in Quebec. It's over 2.5 million ounces. Good infrastructure. You know, very short kind of timeline through final permits. Yamana has the capital to put this in production without going to the market. They'll probably look at a bigger production kind of profile, we imagine, being a major mining company. But these are the types of things that we were picking off 2, 3, 4 years ago. And we've got a lot more of these types of examples in the portfolio. And, you know, we picked these things off. You know, at that time, it was owned by a junior. And that junior, by the way, did an exceptional job doing everything that it could to move the project along and really kind of put it into that place. That's Monarch Gold. And you know, they did an amazing job pushing that project forward through a really tough market. So full credit to them. But for us, you know, we acquired a royalty on that project. And, you know, when these royalties are, you know, on these big projects that are owned by juniors, you know, they're often given, you know, bigger discounts in regards to the value, because, you know, oftentimes these juniors don't have the ability to build these projects. But, you know, we saw a lot of potential in that project. You know, one of our suspicions 2, 3 years ago is that, you know, as this bull market moved forward, that, you know, 2+ million ounce deposits in good jurisdictions with a clear path on permitting or fully permitted are going to be in high demand. And we've already seen this, and it hasn't just been with us, but it's been across the market. I think it's going to continue, and there's just not very many of these out there. So I do think that we'll continue to see projects like this acquired by the majors as they're, you know, looking to replace the reserves. You know, we just saw, you know, Agnico swoop in and buy TMAC. I think we're going to see more M&A by the majors trying to fill their pipelines, because they just weren't able to do it as a group. I mean, there's a few companies here and there that have done an okay job, but as a group, they just were not replacing their reserves through the bear market. And, you know, as the royalty holder, we've got the benefit to take that long-term view. And, you know, when you're buying 62, hopefully Metalla is going to have over 100 royalties in the next couple of years. You know, we can, you know, there's a calculated risk that we can put on all these assets that generate a lot of value for shareholders. And so now, you know, here's an asset that, you know, went from, you know, maybe being in production in kind of 4 to 5 years to probably being in production in 2 to 3 years with a lot more confidence behind that. So a lot of those things can happen in royalty companies, and that's why it's great to own royalty company shares. You can constantly get these types of surprises.
Yeah. Hey, Brett, it's like I said, it's fun following along with this story and seeing just how many transactions you guys are getting done and continuing to build out that royalty portfolio. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Brett, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I assure you that we will be following up as more news hits the market. But again, any questions, we will address those and I'll get those answered for you as quickly as possible. Brett, appreciate your time today. I hope you have a great weekend.
Okay, thanks, Corey. Thanks for having me on.